ranking all 5 episodes of I Am Groot, Marvel considering starting up their own VFX house, and should we really be getting less Marvel content? All of that coming up right now on 15 Minutes of Marvel.
There was an idea.
Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
We can do this all day.
What are they called again?
Annulax batteries.
Harvey Larry batteries.
As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I control the truth! Mysterio is the truth!
Boom. You looking for this?
What is up, what is up, and welcome back to 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in pretty much 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simi. Today on the pod, I'm talking about the newest MCU content that has been gracefully given to us in I Am Groot, a series of essentially 3-minute shorts following Baby Groot doing Baby Groot things. I'm going to rank them, and I'm going to talk about them, and you can watch all of them in about 15 to 16 minutes. It is pretty nice, I'm going to be honest with you. It was pretty cool. Busted through them right before this pod. I had a good time, but yeah, I'm going to rank them. I'm going to give you my thoughts on them, plus I'm going to talk a bit about the VFX problem going on with Marvel and the recent comments from Damon Lindelof regarding the want for less Marvel content. All very important and pertinent news items when it comes to Marvel and the MCU. I haven't been talking about the VFX problem just because we've been talking about other things here on this pod, but there was a great article from Vulture came out a few weeks ago that I'm going to touch on and give my thoughts on. But let's start with one of the most important things is that She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, premieres in just 6 days. Now, normally, I do a primer episode the week before we get a new show or a new series or a new movie. I like to do a primer. I like to talk about it a little bit, the things that you should know, a little insight on the character, what I might predict is going on. I'm trying something new with She-Hulk. We're trying something a little bit different here. No primer this time around. I feel like there has been lots of talk with She-Hulk, lots of snippets and clips that have come out so far, and I'm positive that more will come out next week before the show. We know that Matt Murdock, Daredevil, is expected to show up. We know we're getting Emil Blonsky as Abomination. We know we're getting Bruce Banner as Hulk. We're getting a lot of things, and I feel like it's going to be a really fun, different show. But the reason I am not doing a primer is because I'm kind of just going into this show to enjoy it. I'm kind of just here to have a good time. I'm just here to have a good time with a law comedy and a courtroom drama, essentially. And I'm excited for it, honestly. And I recommend, if you're feeling a little Marvel fatigue, if you're a little bit worried about how does this connect to everything and what do I need to know and how does this all work, maybe just go into it and have a good time. And that's what we're going to do here in the pod. I'm going to be giving weekly reviews of She-Hulk Attorney at Law. So do not worry. Do not fret. I will be talking about them every single Friday, giving my review on the episode. Okay, let's talk about I Am Groot, the newest content, the newest project from Marvel Studios. These are fun. And I wanted to note something right off the top here before I rank them. So there are 5 episodes, like I mentioned. They're all listed at 5 minutes, but about 2 of those minutes are credits. So really about 3 minutes of I Am Groot here per episode. So you can knock them all out in like 15 to 16 minutes. It is pretty sweet. It is pretty easy. Now, these are canon. And I feel like I have to say this because I don't really get the conversation. I'm going to be honest with you. And I am not the most knowledgeable MCU guy. I don't have all of the timelines just straight in my head, ready to talk about that at any given notice. I'm just a Marvel guy. I'm just a Marvel fan. And except for really one scenario in these shorts, I don't understand what people are talking about, whether this is canon or not, honestly. So if I'm missing something, let me know. Get at me on Twitter, DM me at 15 Minute Marvel. I'm curious because I don't get it. I don't know why we have to see every single project as canon or not. Does this impact anything or not? Or what are the cameos? Or is anybody going to show up or not? Let's just watch some freaking shorts, people. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. They're little animated shorts about Groot. Except for really one instance, I don't really understand the conversation anyway. So that aside, that was my venting. That was my venting session for 30 seconds, and now we're going to rank these I Am Groot episodes. I'm going to start with number 5. This is the one that I enjoyed the least, and ironically, it's the one that I started with. So I was fresh. I was fresh into this, and I was like, oh, cool, maybe this will be my favorite one. It was not. It was my least favorite one. This one is called Groot's First Steps. Essentially, him in a planter in a vase and learning how to take his first steps after he breaks through it. I like the sped up Marvel theme for each one of these episodes. I thought it was really cute. I thought it was pretty fun to kind of get to Groot. I do like that kind of electric song that is in this one in Groot's First Steps. Thought it was cute. I think there's some innovative camera movements. Ultimately, I thought it was pretty dumb, if I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even know if I smiled during it. I was just like watching it. So I don't know. It was kind of lame to me. I didn't really like this one as much. I don't really like Groot in his pot as much, maybe as other people. Number 4 is called Groot's Pursuit. This is when he kind of hears a mysterious noise and finds an alien aboard the Milano. Literally like alien vibe, like the movie Alien. Kind of got that vibe. I thought it was cool. I like the salsa dance-off at the end. I thought that was funny. Didn't expect it. Got me by surprise. If you watched that and you made it 2 minutes in and you were like, you know what? When he finds this alien, they're going to have a salsa dance-off. I suggest you go buy a lottery ticket, because there's no way anybody would have guessed that. I thought that was okay. This is the one moment where I can consider, I can understand somebody saying like, oh, is this canon? This would be important. This would be interesting. What is that alien thing? Because we see it transform from Groot to some big giant alien, back to Groot, back to an alien, and then it goes out into space. I could see that being important, but honestly, let's just watch it and just have a good time. Number 3, Magnum Opus. This is the one where Groot is trying to essentially make a family photo and take some hairs from Rocket and take Drax's soap bar and all of these things. The one redeeming factor, this was actually going to be my least favorite of them. The one redeeming factor here that bumped it literally from number 5 to number 3 is when Rocket puts on his glasses. I laughed way harder than I should have. I was way more entertained than necessary. When Rocket put on his little glasses and was like, oh, let's see what we have here. I was like, yeah, you would be a glasses wearer, Rocket. That, I don't know. I thought that was really funny. I thought it was really cute. So that moment alone takes it to number 3. Number 2, Groot takes a bath. I did think this one was pretty funny and cute. I like all the natural elements of like the hot tub of, you know, kind of like plugging up the mud mounds in order to get the bubbles and things like that. And then him learning that the mud will grow leaves on him and then having different outfits and costumes. And I thought that was really funny and really, really cute. I did not like the ending. I did not like how he takes the bird's feathers. That was a gorgeous bird. And even though it's laughing at you, Groot, that is not what you should be doing, buddy. Someone needs to be there to talk him down, because, or talk the bird down, I guess. I don't know. I didn't like the ending, but I thought it was one of the more cuter episodes. And number 1 is called The Little Guy. This one I found way too entertaining. I thought it was funny initially when we kind of got like the 5 minutes, like he learns how to put 2 sticks together, and then 5 minutes later he built this entire giant tower. I thought that was funny. Big Bird comes and swoops, knocks down the tower, and essentially Groot finds this colony of little aliens. This was really, I thought it was really innovative and cool, and these aliens have like warfare and ships and guns, and they start shooting at him and attacking him, and one of the leaves offers them food, so he goes to get all these big leaves, and he's going, and he's going to be their savior, and he steps on the colony. I thought that was so funny. I don't know. I thought that was so funny. I wish every single episode could have been like this, where it was just like really funny. Like that was the point, was just like to be really odd. And I don't know. I liked it a lot. Thought it was the best one for sure. Easily the best kind of Groot elements here. So that is my ranking. All of this to say, I don't think these are curated for a 28-year-old guy with a Marvel podcast. I think they are meant for younger children. I think they're meant for younger audiences. This is something I will be showing my 4 and 2-year-old daughters, and they will love it. I know that they will love it. I know that they will ask to put them on repeat all of the time. They love Groot as it is. this is going to be a big hit with them. So I think that's a win. I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, on to two news topics here to briefly talk about them, because these are elements, these are topics that could really take up an entire, like, normal hour-long podcast, so I will try not to get into it too much, and that is purposeful. I don't want to take a bunch of time. B, I want to hear from you all. I want you to get at me on Twitter, at 15minutemarvel. DM me, tag me in your tweets, whatever you want to do, because I want to know your thoughts on these things. So just this week, Watchmen showrunner and semi-prominent screenwriter for films like World War Z and Prometheus and Tomorrowland, Damon Lindelof, he came out with comments regarding his thoughts to the current state of the MCU and how we should essentially be having less Marvel movies to make each of them, quote, a little bit more special, end quote. So on Vulture's Into It podcast last week, he talked about the MCU box office formula and why Disney Plus is seeing a slow in subscriber count, even though more MCU content is coming out. And so I just wanted to briefly touch on this and ask you as the listener how you feel about these comments and what you think, because I feel like we are all on different points along our MCU journeys, right? So MCU fatigue is real. Whether you want to believe it or not, that is your choice. Some are experiencing it more than others. And like I said, some just don't want to see it. And that's fine. If you don't think so, that is fine. If you don't have MCU fatigue, that is awesome. That is really, really cool. We all know that Phase 4 has been pretty subpar, right? Rather average, even though we've gotten several projects so far. And yes, there has been the standout. Spider-Man No Way Home is Phase 4. I get it. But Multiverse of Madness, Thor Love and Thunder, those were not my jams. And I thought they were really just pretty subpar Marvel content in general. So I understand his comments. I do agree that less Marvel would inherently make each of them more special, as it was when Marvel was just beginning, right? We got one Avengers movie every 2 years. That was a big deal. That was special. That was a big team-up. That was a big deal. Here's my thought process. When I heard these comments, I thought, okay, what would we do? How would we change this? How would we make them more special? So I would take it down from 4 movies a year, and I would say 3 movies a year instead. One spring release, like Guardians, something more, a little more self-contained, a little more funny, a little more full family effect here. One summer blockbuster, right in the middle of summer, in that June-July window, actually July-August window primarily, like a Thor, even though Thor Love and Thunder, I did not think it was a good summer blockbuster. It's doing great business. It's making, it just crossed $700 million worldwide. It's doing great business, very successful. But I would think that you want one summer blockbuster with one really big hero, like Thor. And especially when we get into these Phase 5 and 6s, we're going to have more heroes to kind of pluck from, I feel like, to have their individual movies. I could see Shang-Chi 2 being a major summer blockbuster here in a few years. And then a year-end banger like No Way Home or Avengers or something truly big. And I feel like they are doing that right this year. They're putting Wakanda Forever in November. Now, this is a different discussion for a different podcast. Is that going to be their hopeful Oscar nomination? Are they going to be pulling for that wide praise from the Academy, from the general public of a movie like that? I don't think that's always the case. I do think it might be the case with Wakanda Forever, but I think having just an absolute hit at the end of the year is huge. But I think we are getting a little bit overwhelmed. I do think that quality is getting bogged down with 4 movies in a year and all of these Disney Plus shows to watch. And I think that quality and audience kind of sentiment is changing. And I think it's changing for the worse, honestly. Will it continue? Who knows? Who's to say, right? MCU fans are very fickle, as you know, as I know. I'm very fickle as well, so I get lumped into that group. They're a very fickle fan base, if not more so than like a general fan base. But with the future projects coming out, it sounds like people are excited. So I don't really know what to say, and I don't really know how to do it. If I were to telegraph and tell you people's Marvel sentiment post She-Hulk, I can tell you it's probably going to be the same thing as post-Hawkeye. A lot of people are going to have a fun time. A lot of people are not going to like it. And a lot of people are going to say, why are we watching more Marvel stuff? That would be my very short answer on that, to be kind of the downer, the downer of the group here. Now, speaking of an overwhelming amount of projects as of late, and more specifically, Marvel's treatment of VFX houses has been a big topic. Again, I just want to briefly touch on this because I want to hear from you all and see what you all think. But an article came out in Vulture about 3 weeks ago telling stories from VFX artists of what it's like to work with Marvel. I highly, highly suggest you go check it out. It is definitely worth the read. Shouldn't take you more than 10 or 15 minutes. It is a great read and kind of insight into the industry, the world of Marvel and VFX houses and how their relationships work. I learned a lot. I think it's a great article. The short and sweet of the article, of the topic, of the discussion is this. I think that Marvel is setting a dangerous and unhealthy precedent for VFX houses and employees and changing that industry for the worst. Because they used to be the studio that everybody wanted to work for, right? That was the big deal of, that's the big dog. You want to work for Marvel. That would be so epic. And now people are dreading working for them due to, you know, absurd hours and lack of communication and timelines and getting things changed a month before a movie is supposed to be due and changing a complete scene or act or what have you. And these precedents that they're setting for completed projects, both theatrical and in-home, it's just not good. It's just not going well. So I am kind of at a loss because I don't like this situation. I don't like this situation for VFX employees, obviously. Not a good situation for Marvel Studios to be in at all either. Now, there is a new rumor that suggests that Marvel is considering owning their own VFX house and opening their own VFX house in response to this worker backlash. Now, obviously, again, simply put, Marvel's got a VFX problem. They have a huge VFX problem. And until they change the way that they do business with VFX, I don't think it's going to matter if they open their own house or not. I don't think it will matter. If Marvel were to open their own VFX house tomorrow and say, look, instead of hiring houses and putting out bids, we are doing our own in-house VFX. We own our own studio. Come work for us and work exclusively on Marvel content and Marvel projects. I don't know how many people would go. Honestly, I don't know, because they have already set the precedent that they don't value timelines and communication and employees and their health at work. So I think they're in a really bad boat here. And if they don't fundamentally change, I don't think anybody's going to come work for them. And honestly, the VFX has been subpar on some projects as of late. And when it gets down to that level where audiences like you and I are calling it out, I think that's a serious problem. And I don't think it is going to end well for Marvel. Is there an easy solution? Absolutely not. But can they start implementing solutions? Definitely. I think timelines need to be pushed back and extended. I don't think it is a good thing to say you are getting Avengers 5 and 6 in such a short time frame. You're getting them 6 months apart. You're getting one in May. You're getting one in November. I don't know. I don't even work in VFX. That makes me nervous. That just is a big deal. And I think treatment of VFX employees needs to drastically improve, right? Marvel needs to be aware of this before their studio reputation is completely tarnished, because without VFX, these movies don't work. There's just no other way to put it. They do not exist without VFX. And even if they were to open their own VFX house, I think they still have a problem. And I think they still are transforming the industry for the worse. Remains to be seen what they're going to do, if they're actually going to open their own house or not, or if they're going to continue to place bids and use other houses. But I am very curious to see what this does for VFX houses, for employees, for the industry at large and as a whole, and the future of Marvel. I'm curious to see if these timelines actually stick, if we're actually getting two Avengers movies in 6 months. Very, very curious. Have you watched I Am Groot yet? Which one is your favorite? Let me know. Let me know how you think about all these VFX things and all these comments about less or more Marvel. Hit me up on Twitter at 15MinuteMarvel. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform. A huge shout out to the patrons of the show: Brandon Clark, Alan Cole Peacock, Ben Longhorn, Corelia Christina, TJ Zorich, Jessica, Carlos Freitas, and Joey Lett. Thank you all so, so much. Don't forget, She-Hulk Episode 1 review coming at you next week. I'm very, very excited. I will see you back here next time. I am Ethan Simi, and remember, always go higher, further, and faster.